good example of some of the work that can be possible in this area. I guess our last primary component of this project is, again, interpretation. We would use this, and again, all of the projects that we're doing on the site, and use them as opportunities to get the public more involved, get the people more involved in why this was an important project and how we went about it and the benefits of practicing those sustainable techniques as well as restoring the resources of the site. And I'm not going to go through all of those, but I think that, we always talk about some of the benefits of having green space or open space and natural resources in the community. These are just citations from different scientific studies that have been done that quantify those benefits. So first off here, as far as the economics, so it's been proven time and time again that by investing a little bit in the green infrastructure, in our natural resources, and in the recreational amenities that this project is proposing, that economic benefits, direct economic benefits, are realized. And the same for social benefits. And again, getting back to that slide I began with, that the people being able to get outside increases, or I should say improves, their well-being, the way they feel about themselves. And so again, these are some of the many studies out there that can quantify that this isn't just the way we think it works. This is the way it works. And we, our society does have great benefits from being able to get out and enjoy our natural amenities. As far as the environment goes, the same thing. These are studies that have been done that quantify some of the benefits of putting into place what we're proposing. So we all want to talk about the costs here. This is a cost opinion for restoring the resources on the site. We talked about the prairie riparian stream restoration, the wetland restoration. That is in essence that stormwater treatment that Ted mentioned, and then of course some miscellaneous costs. The credit down below is the Department of Transportation money that would come into the project that would go toward the riparian restoration and the stream restoration. Some other cost items here, the interpretation component. Now this would be interpretive signage along the trails. It would be perhaps some interpretive elements in the hub building of the research park, etc. It would be perhaps development of some, publications that could be used with the businesses on the site, etc. So this would be our nature interpretation program. It would probably be a continuation of some of the things we do now, for namely our on-cell program, which is our self-guided interpretive program through cell phones that we would do out there. And we would incorporate video into that as well. Other amenities, of course, I've got those listed there. The things that we need to buy, and we don't necessarily always think we really want to spend the money on them. Lighting, we're going to have to light some of the paths, benches, of course, for places to sit and the such. The trails component is a large component of the cost here. The interior network trails you see at $834,000. That network connector, that is the trail that goes over to R38. So these figures are all based on hard surfaced trails, and some of them being sustainable surfaced trails. So, i.e., like the parking lot video you saw. So that's the basis for these numbers. And you'll see the bottom line there of $1.6 million. So a cost summary, you add all those up, trails, interpretation, amenities, and resources were at $2.5 million for this project. As far as what this would cost us to operate on a long-term basis, of course, this does bring additional costs to the county to maintain this property, to continue operations there, and this is a summary of those costs. We would anticipate adding one more full-time staff member in order to operate this facility, and then some seasonal staff as well, and that's included in
that. But in today's dollars, you're $110,000 a year, you think, in increased costs, plus the new equipment you'd have to have.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yep. So we came today with the idea that we would request action from the supervisors to enter into agreements. We've been working hard to come up with those agreements, and in fact today I'm not ready to ask for any action on this item. We are still in the process of identifying land, the exact perimeter of the land that would be would come to the county. So until we get that done, we're not ready to present or have the board take any action on this. The Conservation Board has discussed this. They too have not taken action because we don't have anything identified yet. We expect that we will have that identified within 1 week, perhaps 2 weeks, but our hope is to have that all identified within 1 week and then come back to the board to take action.
Okay, so no action today. First of all, I'd ask, Nate, do you have anything you want to add to what Mike had to say?
I have one other comment.
Sure. Let's let Nate go, and then Ted will come right back to you.
I'd say that's a great summary by Mike and all the partners that are working together. We're very happy that everybody is working together. We just have one thing to clarify the map, and you know that's on us to make sure we get the right map to you guys. We're talking to all our tenants and making sure they're okay with it before we finalize it and move forward. So that's okay. The only thing we're waiting for. It's been great cooperation between us, and we look forward to working together in the future.
All right, Nate, thank you. Ted?
I would say that the water quality issue is both an agricultural and an urban issue, the stormwater runoff. With the cooperation of you folks, the board, and other areas of the county, we're getting ready to open the new revised Dakins Park north of Zering, where we had great cooperation from the city of Zering and its citizens. We have at that park now not only a better recreational facility, but also a demonstration of how to handle runoff from agricultural land. Also, it's revised that community. New businesses are starting to open, and you can see widespread benefits to all from these type projects.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Is that going to become your new fishing hole, Ted?
It'll just be on my list.
It'll be on your list of many fish. Okay, just check it. I know you're the expert angler. Okay, outstanding. No requests for action today. I am going to ask that the three board members individually, after we've got at least one member of the public who wants to address us, but after that, that we indicate conceptually how we feel about what's been presented to us. It's no action. We're not committing to anything, but I do think it's important for everybody here and anybody listening in or that's interested to know where we stand and where this board seems to be moving for this research park. With that, I'll ask Arden Greiner to come up and address the board.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, Arden Greiner from Sherman Township. One quick question before I start. Does the Ames Research Park, do they have a legal obligation to have stormwater retention ponds?
I would believe that as part of this project they do. Nate, you correct me if I'm saying something inaccurate.
So basically the county's taking over this land. We're going to build storm retention pond for them that they are legally required to have anyhow. Looks to me like that should be done at their expense. And then in the agreement, it can be sold back to them for a dollar after we invest $2.5 million.
I haven't seen the agreement, the finalized agreement.
What could be sold back to them?
The entire project, the entire 60 acres, will be sold back to them for a dollar. It's in the top of the last page of the
agreement. Mike, you want to address that?
Mike.
Sure. The land would come to the county at no cost. And, yes, if for some reason the county opted out.
So if we decided to sell it, they could buy it back for $1, which
correct.
Is what we would be paying to have it. We nothing requiring the county to sell it.
Correct.
Cut.
Okay.
Thank you, Arden.
Good.
But, anyhow, it looks, first of all, they've got a legal requirement to pay for this wastewater retention pond. So for us as the county to pick that up is probably unnecessary. That's just one thing. I've had a lot of time here to make notes, unfortunately. Most of the projects on the recently completed capital improvements plan ask for TIF funds. I don't know what funding source you're going to have for these $2.5 million other than the TIF project from the wind turbine development in Eastern Story County.
It's beyond Eastern Story County, but go ahead.
Well, there's, six other that aren't.
Be accurate. Yep.
The TIF funding incentive, most of it, 124 wind turbines in the Colonesco School District, the farmers decided to cut up their fields with the roads to these wind turbines. And one of the major factors that was considered at the time was that to increase the tax base for the local schools and the communities. And that was a major factor. It was promoted by all the promoters.
And has the tax base increased for the school system?
Well, we're not receiving any of the funds that go to the TIF district.
Has the tax base increased? You just said they did it based on the tax base increase, and I'm just asking you, has it increased? Because the answer is yes, Arden.
Because the farmers and the companies built the wind farm.
But it's increased.
Well, yeah.
And also you have to be clear that the farmers have and are being compensated for.
And they were compensated.
Okay. We're deciding to cut up their...
We consider this as Eastern Story County's economic development. We need this tax income to compete and survive. I believe that our school teachers get paid much less than the Ames and Gilbert school teachers. We need this tax base and income to stay home. I suggest to you that if you approve this ISU Research Park conservation phase, only if you do it without using TIF wind turbine money. You should not take the proceeds from your poor country cousins to pay for the research park. I'm sure the Ames Economic Development Community, ISU, and the people in Ames are willing to pay their own way. Important, with TIF funds, this is spending today money that we hope will come in over the next 15 to 20 years through the taxing of the wind towers. If the wind towers go bankrupt in 10 years, there will be no income to pay off the bonds. I mean, I think you're floating bonds to come up with the money immediately that will be paid for in the past. I don't think it's smart to be borrowing money and spend it on conservation projects. Got to follow my notes here. There will be economic development works best if it is funded with private donations and business leaders spending their own money, and that's the best check and balance of the economic development funding. There will be no second reading or public comment period for this. These expenditures are solely your discretion. Doing business in this way can get very messy.
Well, that's not accurate, is it? Because we're reading it today, and we're coming back in a week or 2 weeks to actually talk about making decisions. So that one's not even close to accurate. Yep.
Well, not even close to accurate. They were asking for it today. You were planning on voting on it today, but he just said they didn't quite have
We had the possibility of voting on it today if we so chose. We also had the possibility of doing of extending it out. But my point is, you just said that there wasn't going to be a second reading. In Arden, there is going to be a second reading.
Okay, but in a lot of legal, there's usually second and third readings and public comment periods. There is no legal requirement for a second or third reading or a
If we're going to use TIF dollars, first of all, if we're going to use TIF dollars, you're entirely wrong. There is
a requirement. There is a requirement if we decide that.
If TIF dollars are used in this, there's a whole process that would have to go through.
Right.
This would not be the end of it. So it's not, you're not even close. You're not even close to accurate. And all I'm asking you, Arden, hey, I love it when you come talk to us. You have a unique perspective on this, and I appreciate it. But I do expect you to be accurate with what you say. That's twice now, this afternoon, that you've not been accurate with what you say. Just be accurate.
What was the first one?
What was the first one? I pointed it out immediately. I'm getting old. Sorry.
Okay. He just said that we're not going to ask for a vote today because we don't have the legals for the land yet.
Right.
But barring that, it was able to be voted on today.
Not using TIF dollars.
Okay.
Yep.
Are there any other funding sources, large funding sources, other than TIF fund to fund this project?
Not that I'm aware of, but, yeah, the county spends money all the time from other sources. My view, and I've been clear with you from day one, I do view this as a TIF project very similar to how I viewed Dakin's Lake. I know you and I disagree. That said, there is no way legally that the county can spend TIF dollars without going through the full TIF process, which, Mike, as I understand it, is about a three-month process with multiple readings, multiple hearings. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Have you looked into what the legal cost would be for the storm water runoff retention system would be for this if we didn't do it?
We've looked at our cost for doing it.
What would their cost be if we didn't do it?
I'm sure it'd be similar.
Comparable, yeah.
Okay. So why don't they
the $50 million project all in, is that right, Nate? There's lots and lots of money coming, and Ted did a great job pointing this out. There's lots and lots and lots of money coming from the ISU Research Park, Iowa State University, the City of Ames, DOT. There's indirect funding from the state of Iowa through some of the economic development for specific companies. And Story County, an ask has been made of Story County, that Story County be part of bringing what could be, and Nate, help me if I'm missing this, all in could be an additional 4,000 to 5,000 jobs for Story County. Estimates that I've seen would be of those new jobs that are created, 60% of them, I believe, would live in Ames, and 40% would live outside of Ames.
Story County.
Well, would be outside of Story County potentially, but 40% of them. Okay, 60-40 Story County split. So if you take the 5,000 new jobs, that's 3,000 new people living in Story County. The best thing that can happen to any of our school systems, Arden, is additional families living within that school system. That's absolutely the best thing that can happen to any of our school systems.
Okay. Well, all the money available to their, all the resources they have available to them, I'm just surprised that they have to come and take money from our wind turbines and our tax money from our county that they can't just pay their own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say paying $47.5 million out of $50 million is substantially paying your own way. Oh,
she does not
want to speak. Okay.
What was that comment?
I said I believe that paying $47.5 million out of $50 million is called paying your own way, and making a small ask of the county to participate in an economic development initiative that could bring upwards of 5,000 new jobs to Story County is completely reasonable. That's my view.
So after putting up $47.5 million, they can't put up $2.5 million more?
Might be able to. I think it's a reasonable ask for Story County to be involved in something that benefits all of Story County.
Have you asked if they could do it on their own without your help?
I haven't. I think it's important for Story County to be part of this. That's my view.
Why are we throwing money at all these? We threw money at the airport. I'll guarantee you that airport would be funded if you didn't put in the $100,000. I'll guess that this health clinic would go forward if you wouldn't have thrown in the 50,000.
We are Story
Arden,
County.
Arden, you're probably absolutely correct. They probably would.
Yeah.
But, and Rick probably summed it up right at the end, when we look at any development, any project that benefits Story County, we include all of Story County. We just don't parcel it out in one little corner as we, you know, look at future growth and development and amenities that will benefit, because, as you well know, people who live in the outlying communities also rely upon traveling to and from our major cities for goods and services and for recreational opportunities, as people that live within the cities, larger cities, also go out into the outlying communities for recreational opportunities. So it is a total concept of what is ultimately going to be a role that we as a county can do to look at the future growth and development by partnering with other entities. And that's what we're trying to do by utilizing all the available means that's possible. And for me, serving on the Conservation Board as now as an ex-official member, non-voting member, I've been a part of the discussion and the process throughout this. But several years ago, when this whole research park concept came into being, we were invited to be at the table to talk about the future growth and development there, because we saw the job potential market and that would benefit not just the city of Ames, not just Iowa State, but the surrounding communities as well. And I think that that reality, to me, merits that we also participate to the best of our ability. Ted can recall that many years ago, when Ada Hayden Park was ready to be developed, we contributed in kind with the planning and seeding well over $1 million towards that development of that particular area. This is one of the – and yet that is not managed by Story County. This project, with the role that the Conservation Department is going to play, which is going to, in my opinion, enhance – our outreach to quality of life issues throughout Story County is worthy of us giving strong consideration to partnering in this. And I guess I can go to sleep at night knowing that this decision has been fully vetted, fully understood. And when I go and compare other counties, not only in Iowa, but nationally, Dubuque is a perfect example. The role of city and county and economic development and businesses coming together has proven to reap tremendous benefits, as he showed on his slide, you know, with the social and economic opportunities. So I think we're just beginning to recognize how, you know, people look back on this maybe 10, 15 years from now, Arden, they're going to think that if this goes forward, what a great decision that we've taken in this county. And I think that's and I appreciate you bringing your views. That's the great thing about democracy.
For the last
Not everybody is going to agree 100% with the decisions that we make.
The last thing I say is TIF districts start in California. They broke California. California no longer uses TIF districts. If you think this is the bright light future that you're, I think you're going to look back years from now and wonder where all the money went. Thank you.
Thanks, Arden.
Thank you.
Let's see. I said we would go through this. I know it's a big shock to everybody, but I tend to support this concept and look forward to learning more about it and making a decision on it.
I think it's a worthwhile project. You know, Arden, you made comment about your poor country cousins. You know, the days of the county's role simply being to drag the gravel roads and incarcerate prisoners is long past. We've got a long history in Story County. We've contributed money to the Score Park here in Nevada because that was going to be available for all county residents to use. We gave money to Story City so they could improve their swimming pool. We gave money to the city of Ames so they could do Ada Hayden Park.
$3.2 million roughly for Dakin's Lake.
Exactly. If we didn't want to contribute to any of these projects would go on and be built regardless. But I think it's a role that the county needs to play that they participate in those, because like it or not, or believe it or not, it benefits everybody in the county. And I understand your opinion on TIF districts, and I completely respect that. I just happen to disagree with it. We're not taking however many millions of dollars it is to move the Von Maur store from the Coral Ridge Mall a half a mile down the road to a new city center. We're not doing that, and I don't think, as long as I'm sitting on this board, I would ever vote to do anything like that. We're looking at projects like Dakin's Lake. This project with the research park involves conservation, and like I said, I respect your opinion on these. I just don't happen to agree with it.
Mike.
Totally aside from funding, the county's involvement in this project would bring components to this project that would not be possible otherwise.
Yes.
The mission of the Conservation Board, to increase the quality of life through recreational opportunities, education, and wise management of our natural resources. That's our goal. This project gives that opportunity and leverage to work with those other partners and to do things on a much larger scale than would ever be possible with Story County alone, by leveraging the university support, by leveraging the research park support, the state support, et cetera. All of that is possible. It just wouldn't be possible alone. So the expertise that each one of those partners brings to the table is critical. And without that, what we just chatted about wouldn't work.
I think you're 100% right. I'll add one thing. I think with where things are headed in this litigious nature that we find ourselves in, where we have a city suing counties now over runoff, I think being at the forefront of the way we handle some of our stormwater and our runoff is probably a pretty good place to be. So thank you. Next.
And I don't need to really say any more.
You indicated.
I think I indicated strongly where I'm standing on this issue.
Thank you, Wayne. Departmental reports first is community services. Thank you for waiting. All right.
I forgot the tab, the bid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Darren Moon. How could I forget Darren? Consideration of bid tabulation and awarding of contract to Peterson Contractors.
I'll be quick.
Sorry, Darren.
That's all right. This follow-up from our letting last week. We checked the numbers. There was just one math error and the high bidder, but it wouldn't have affected anything either way. So we corrected that. So that would make Peterson the low bidder at $321,000, which is $65,000 under our estimate. So we're pleased with the numbers. And I'd recommend we award Peterson Contractors with a contract.
I would make that motion that we award the contract to Peterson Contracting.
And I'll second it. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It passes. Now we get to move on to departmental reports. Thanks, Darren. Sorry about skipping you. Community services. Hi, Carla and Aaron.
Hello.
Thanks for spending your day with us.
Well, thank you. It's been interesting. We're here today to do the quarterly report. So this is covering from January to March. I will summarize for community services, and then Aaron will do the case management report. For general assistance, total for the reporting period, we have assisted 40 individuals. That breaks out to 20 single person households, and then 20 family households. Year to date total, we've assisted 153 individuals through the end of March. I looked back to kind of see where we were at March of 2014, because we felt that we're not seeing as many people, and we're down as far as assistance wise, we're down about 41 individuals. overall, application-wise, it looks like we're down about 100 applications. And when I look at applications, I'm considering the folks that we've assisted, the individuals that we've referred on to other agencies, and the folks that didn't come back to us. Through this reporting period, though, we referred 152 individuals on to other agencies. We weren't able to help them. And we had 11 people that we were looking at assistance for, but they didn't come back. The report details out the amount that we paid for rent and utilities, as well as burial and transportation. We do have currently three individuals that we assisted through the SSI interim program, and we did have one individual that was awarded SSI benefits, and so we were reimbursed from Social Security $8,020 for mm-hmm. him. So that was good. And we paid out on four different substance abuse claims during this reporting period. One thing I looked up was I was curious about where our unemployment rate is at for Story County. And the Iowa Workforce Development website for February had us at 2.7%. We're one of three counties within the state of Iowa that's under 3%. So I think that potentially could contribute to why we've seen fewer applications. Mm-hmm. For asset, during the quarter, the hearings and panel work sessions were held, and the asset volunteers made recommendations to the funders in the amount of about $3.6 million. That was a 5.3% increase over last year's allocations. Work also continued with the demand response task force. And the next steps for that task force, they are going to be implementing action plans for the top four priority areas. For mental health disability services for the region, our FY16 annual service and budget plan was approved by the regional governing board, and that has been submitted to DHS for approval. That plan identifies our planning areas for FY16, our scope of services, our projected need, and our expenditures. Also, an assessment was done countywide to identify where we have core and core plus services and areas of need also. So we're going to be working with that survey further to take our next steps in getting further services developed. We also continued work on developing the core services throughout the region, supported employment. That service is now in 9 counties out of 10 for our region. And I believe last week there is one provider that's now committed to being interested in providing supported employment in Hamilton County.
Good.
Telehealth and psychiatry is still being developed in the county jails, and discussions with hospital ERs are taking place. Mental health first aid training to law enforcement first responders in schools is still being carried out. And then also working with NAMI of Central Iowa to provide family and peer support education services. So that contract, I believe, is going in front of the governing board later this month. We did in January hold training on our regional management plan, and our service coordinators throughout the region are meeting on a monthly basis, which is something that's new for us, but it's been good for us to collaborate with the other service coordinators throughout the county or throughout the region. We also implemented using Microsoft Office 365, which is a program that's being used region-wide. I think some of the benefits to that program for us are it allows us to more easily share information with each other. Also, as you're aware, the CLP services are being transitioned to Optime. Our staff have been working on getting client notices of decisions updated in that so that funding can get carried over for Optime. And then just other activities that our staff have done in January, a couple of our staff members met with two different Stephen Ministries groups. One group was out of Ames, the other was in Nevada, and they talked with them about mental health services and just other community resources that are available. In March, we had two staff members that were guests on the KHOI radio talk show, and they talked about regionalization, the closure of the MHIs, the governor's proposal to withhold equalization funding to the regions. And then we also had two staff that participated in the Aspire Transition Fair that was held in conjunction with Heartland AEA. So kind of a quick summary.
That's outstanding.
Questions
thank you.
For me at all before I turn it over to Aaron?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
They're not going to have any questions. Everybody's hungry. A little disappointed in my audience here, too. You
know? I mean, don't take it personally.
Aaron, will you pull the microphone over, please? That microphone is really bad.
Oh, this one's not working
at all. Battery's probably dead, too. All right.
Enter the microphone.
So I'm here to give you the case management quarterly report. And our current number of consumers served here in Story County is 253. This is our total for our regional unit. The Central Iowa Case Management unit is 436. So as you can see, we have the larger number of folks there. Referrals in Story County, we've had about four over the last quarter. This is a number that is significantly less than what we used to have before we had them when we served the mentally ill population. Our discharged consumers and new admits was a wash this quarter. And our average caseload size is about 31, which is really nice.
That's
where we kind of want to be.
Yep.
So it's very good. We have had some staff changes throughout this reporting period. Kim Helland left employment with us mid-January. And then we opened up her position for interest. It's a team leader position that helps with referrals and quality review of files and things like that. And Tammy Metzger is now in that position. And then we had a new case manager start April 6th, Quinn Johnson. So she's been there for a week, so 6 days. So that's very nice. Probably our biggest news is just sitting back and kind of waiting for the Medicaid modernization to do what it's doing over this time frame. It's a bit of a stressor for our case management staff as it's written in the RFP. And they're looking to go to managed care organizations to manage the Medicaid funding, including those for the ID and brain injury waivers, which is what we serve. And basically, the way I understand it is those MCOs will be able to choose whether or not they will hire their own care coordinators or community-based case management is also what they're calling it, or they have the option to contract with entities. So
another potential area where they could tell us what's allowed and we get to react to it here in Story County.
Kind of.
What's happening, yeah.
Yes.
Timeline on this, when are they expecting the RFPs to go out and come back? Maybe general timeline?
Yeah. July, August.
May.
May.
Coming up, okay. And a decision would be made. So May 8th, proposals are due. Decision would be made, expected decision. For implementation?
January 1st.
Starting January 1st. So we're going to know end of July, and then whatever we find out at the end of July, we're going to have to work to implement by January 1st. And that could have, again, some major impact on workforce, on our employees here in Story County, and how services are provided.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Sorry for your stress.
No.
We'll see.
No worries.
We'll see what we
That's
can.
That's fine. Thank you. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Deb, how'd they do?
Awesome.
They did great.
A little different perspective for you now on this. So.
Took too long. I don't remember any of your reports getting over at 110, though. I don't.
We used to make the chair by lunch if it went past noon. But
all right. I'm all in. Next is quarterly report and final report from community life. Speaking of things that were out of our control. Michelle Van Maren. Michelle, first of all, I need to say congratulations on your position with OptimA, which I assume starts May 4th. You get one day off or anything between the two positions?
No days off.
No days off.
No
okay.
days off. We're going to go from this side to that side.
Thank you very much for doing that. First of all, great decision by OptimA. It tells me that they know what they're doing, that they would pick you up. Have at it.
All right. I'll try to make this brief. I do want to touch a little bit on both sides, since we are at, like, I don't know, I don't even know anymore. I think we're at 12 days, 13
yeah,
days,
weeks,
something,
right.
Something like that. basically, at this point in time, nobody is panicking. That is the best thing I can tell the board of that. No panic. Our census at this point in time is 160 clients. All of our supervised apartments are full, including our RCFs. We had 44 discharges, which, of course, were related to the supported employment transition. Incarcerations, we had no incarcerations for the quarter. We had 4 hospitalizations. 2 of those were medical. 2 were psychiatric. We have no current individuals in the hospital at this point. We have 1 instance of homelessness, and we are currently serving that individual in the actual homeless shelter. And at this point in time, I don't have a billing update for you. Chris Hornson was not able to be here today, and he has that information for you.
Hey, and real quick, so something crossed my desk yesterday. Are we still waiting on about a $600,000 payment from the state of Iowa? Are you aware of that?
Yes. And I was contacted by Lisa and that office, and they have requested that I contact IME and see kind of what the status is.
Okay, and you let me know if I need to dig in with you at all on that one.
I will ask for that assistance if I need it.
Thank you.
Some of this, I'm just going to go through a little bit of summary. Some of the consequences of changing the timeline a little bit for this transition relates to compliance practices related to CLP. Because of the transition time, we had to focus, of course, more on getting the clients, getting the staff, and those kind of things retained. So the ability to focus on issues like records compliance, those kind of things, has had to take a back seat. The unintended outcomes of that could be some repayment to Medicaid, but CLP has always had very, very good standards and very good practices when it comes to compliance. So we predict that if that were to happen, and we don't see it happening, it would be very, very minimal.
Okay.
But kind of an unintended consequence. As far as the record storage goes, I did include a copy of the records retention plan. That, from our perspective, is complete. I'm not aware of an electronic storage system that's been sought. Maybe Deb knows more about that. But there is the space, of course, in the county building at this point in time downstairs where all those records are being housed. A system has been developed for Story County going forward that will tell you when those records can be destroyed or those kind of things according to Medicaid guidelines. So not only do you have a place for them to be stored, you have a system in place for reduction as time goes forward. Let's see. We're going to move on to human resources. The human resources part of this plan has been completed. All CLP employees received their last date of service notice from Story County on or about March 27th.
Okay.
I haven't heard any issues or concerns with that. The transitions themselves, as of January, we started with Progress Industries. That involved about 60 CLP clientele to make that transition. There are only 4 to 5 individuals left for that transition, and they were individuals that actually came on board after Progress Industries was announced. So they weren't a part of the original transition. I did have another list of individuals that came across my desk this week, and I have sought out assistance from the Central Iowa region to help with those referrals because they were not a part of that transition. And I do not believe that Story County Community Life can accommodate that, and so it would be better placed with that entity. Progress Industries has hired on one of our employees as part of that transition. That's a relatively new development. The second part of the transition began in late February with Optime. Optime Life Services has retained a total of 69% of Story County's employees associated with the Community Life Program. 79% of those are direct care staff, and 59% of those individuals are middle or upper management or office support staff. And I think that's an astounding number.
Oh, 69% of our CLP employees found continued employment with Optime. And that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
And the majority of those individuals that do not have employment with Optime, that was a decision that was made by the part of the county employee,
okay,
not Optime. Optima is working diligently. We have a significant workforce base that is clientele who, as a part of the Medicaid program, they do work for Community Life so that they continue their Medicaid benefits. That is now the next part of what I consider to be staff retention, because we consider those individuals to be our employees with Story County. So they are currently working on getting those individuals hired so they see no gap in their Medicaid for May.
Outstanding.
At this point in time, they have hired approximately 10 individuals from the community to help fill any gaps in the program, and they are looking to hire 8 more by May 1st. That would fully staff what would be Optima Life Services at that point. That does not include the 15 individuals from the community they will be looking at hiring that will be related to opening up supervised apartments or doing any other services that are being brought on by Optima Life.
Over and above what CLP had provided.
Yes. So it's been a little bit difficult to gauge that staffing pattern because the two systems between Community Life and Optima are not totally alike.
Yeah.
So they have moved individuals that were currently in direct care positions into what we would consider middle management, which has been an awesome morale boost for a lot of our individuals who are like, you know, we've been stuck a little bit because of the nature of this county system, and now they're getting opportunities to grow and do something a little different. We are currently working with Optima to make sure that we have all of our clientele covered as far as services go. The biggest area of concern at this point in time are related to the community-based individuals. Because of the time of the transition, one of the things that Optima talked about when they came in was doing what they call a warm handoff, which for our clientele means that they get an opportunity with their old staff to meet their new staff. Well, now we're running into an end date, and some of those old staff are going to be gone. As a result, Optima has decided that they are going to do some meet and greet opportunities to get some of those community individuals into the program and give them an opportunity to meet the whole community team and kind of choose who they think might be the best fit. We have some preliminary caseloads put together so that we can get some contact information out there so we have the least amount of concern or gaps in any of those community services. So, you know, at this point in time, as far as we have a significant number of people that we still are transitioning over to the care coordination system, we really haven't touched on that from an Optima perspective, but that will have to continue, whether it's CLP or Optima, simply because those people are accessing regional dollars and will have to go over into the Medicaid system at some point in time. But that's something we'll probably talk a little bit more about after May 1st when we're actually Optima Life Services. Just to touch a little bit about Optima and kind of what they have in store just moving forward, I mentioned the fact that they are opening up several supported community apartments. Those will be apartments that have staff in them and allow individuals to reside in the community. They are, at this point in time, I have 15 beds that will be opening August 1st. So that doubles the size
Wow.
of CLP's current staff apartment program. Not all of them will be, you know, 20 hours of staff time. There will be varying degrees of staff time to accommodate a different, the different needs of the clients. The other thing, of course, that Optima is opening up is the drop-in center, which is a different model than the program we have right now over for day services. Our day services model is an educational model. It would run into some concerns with the CMS rulings coming forward. Optima's model of the drop-in center includes a free lunch program. That will be opening up here May 18th is the day they're going to roll it out, and it will be staggered to its full potential simply because we haven't operated that kitchen for a long time. It's got a little bit of a learning curve to get into Optima system. They are hiring our clients, to run that lunch program. That lunch program will also, by July 1st, be community integrated, which means that any person in the community that has a mental health diagnosis will be able to access that lunch program. So that will offer a free meal to any individual with a mental health diagnosis in Ames or Story County that's willing to come over, participate, disclose the information they need to disclose in order to be able to access it. So we're very excited about that. We think that's an opportunity to go into the community that we haven't had for a very long time. One of the things that I had the pleasure of doing last week, I met with a couple of community providers that are beginning to look at their strategic plan for 2016, and they expressed a great deal of interest working with Optime to look at how to build some partnerships and to address some of the gaps in services. So that there's still some gaps in Story County for continuity of care from this range to the next, and they want to partner with Optime to fill in those gaps. I was very happy to have that conversation with them. I think that's very much needed to have some of those partnerships. So hopefully we will be able to come back here and give you guys some positive information about how Optime has impacted the community.
I feel really, really good about where it's headed, and I have to say, I am so pleased that here we are 2 weeks away. If anybody would have tried to tell you 6 months ago that we were going to be 2 weeks away and you started with nobody's panicking, I don't think anybody would have believed it six months ago. You and your staff have done a phenomenal job in what has been a really, really tough 2 years.
Yep.
And I want to tell you how much I appreciate it, and I'm really excited to see you next time you come and you report on Optime. And I think this is a great time to just once again acknowledge what an unbelievably positive program CLP has been for Story County for many years. And while it's really unfortunate that the system as it's changed does not allow for a group like CLP, it is so exciting to hear about some of the new positive impacts that a group like Optime can have coming in, and I'm really, really pleased that they're retaining so much of what was CLP and incorporating it into their new system. Thank you to you. Thank you to your staff, and good luck to you.
Yeah, absolutely. When I signed on for this project, I'll call it a project, I said that I stayed for three reasons. The first one was the clients, the second one was the staff, and the third one was the CLP legacy. And I'm very, very happy to report that CLP has maintained its legacy through this whole process.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you
very much.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Other reports, update of the quarterly Story County Financial Report 2015. Markley, give us some good news, and then let's go eat lunch.
For real.
I'm going to sit in every seat. We're going to rotate seats. What's a different view? Okay, I'll make this short and sweet because God knows we've been here long enough. 75% of the year, four departments are over the 75% in the expenditures, but overall we're only at 66.6% expenditures. I do have 16 departments that have requested amendments.
Okay.
So there you go.
And we're going to publish those amendments, and then this board, because I know I've seen a couple that I'm concerned about.
Next week. I will come to you with the proposed amendments.
All of them?
All of them.
Okay.
All the documentation. And then I will ask for permission to publish so that we can have the public hearing on May 12th.
Okay.
I have a grandbaby coming, and I want to get that done so I can go enjoy a new
and
grandbaby.
And all I'll ask of you is those 16 departments that have requested amendments, please let them know that until we have the public hearing, there are no, don't start assuming that there's going to be dollars amended. Because I know I've seen a couple that I want to have some very serious conversations about.
Okay.
Okay.
That's where we're at on the expenditures, on the revenue, or on the fund balances. As you can see, we've 66% of the general fund, 66% of the supplemental fund have been spent. Understand that in April is when I pay a lot of the second half type things, so that has something to do with that. Then the revenues, 7 of the departments are over 75%. I think that's just really nice. I do have some revenue amendments to make also.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Good. Do you need any kind of approval from us?
I don't need anything from you.
Thank you very much. Liaison assignments. Paul Toot.
Pass.
Wayne Clinton.
Phone conversation with Michelle yesterday. Very positive. She echoed a lot of what she shared today. Great. Met with Deb yesterday. We talked about the things that was on the agenda that she spoke toward and felt very good about that. So I'll just stop at that.
All righty. Public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. We can't take any action to the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Anyone? Seeing no one, moving to the microphone. Announcers to supervisors. Paul Toot.
Pass.
Wayne Clinton.
Be heading over to participate in or just sit in on the YSS public town hall.
Which is starting right now.
Which started right now for one of the candidates. Then tomorrow, our HERDA board has moved its meeting up till tomorrow, so I will miss the quarterly meeting. I told Leanne, quadrant meeting, told Leanne already that I'll be at Des Moines for that.
Super.
Other than that,
nothing for me. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Job well done.